Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, the saga of the Hudson's Bay Company is winding down. All the stores are now in liquidation after the court deemed that it was unlikely that any investors would come forward with a plan to keep them open. But there is property that some bidders want. And I'm talking about the right to those iconic stripes. The rights are still considered valuable, and there is a very important piece of our history. The Royal Charter that gave Hudson's Bay exclusive trading rights over a portion of Canada way back in 1670. So what do you think? What should happen to those things? There are those saying that they should be kept out of the hands of Americans, should be kept at home. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And now I'd like to welcome a guy I talked to very often when I was a business reporter, Tom Caldwell, the chairman of Urbana Corporation. Sorry. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am well, Libby. It's so nice to chat with you again. This is great.
It's great to chat with you. So what prompted you to look for the rights to the intellectual property and that charter?
Well, let me just say, Libby, it's a combination of altruism and opportunism. I've always felt strongly that Hudson Bay and all of everything connected with it really is part of Canada. I was kind of disappointed when it sold to an American company, and it didn't serve it well some years ago. I understand now the situation is a little bit different now. There's an opportunity here, both for the intellectual property. That's the business side of this equation. And then there's the artifacts, which is probably more the ultra. Well, it's overlapping. That's something that we will bid on. There's two separate things. If I went to the artifacts, the charter, for example, that should be in Canada. That before we had a constitution, that was more or less our MS-DOS, our operating constitution for Canada. And that it should be here. It must be here. I think there'll be a lot of people quite interested in it. We hope to bid on it. It's not critical we win it, but we wouldn't buy it. I'm not going to have it in my living room or in our lobby or something like that. It's uniquely encompassing Canadian, both Indigenous and settlers and everything else. So it should be here. It should be in a museum. And if we did get it, we would re-donate it. And I imagine the other people that are interested in it would probably want to do the same, I would hope. But it has to be in Canada.
Do you have any inkling how much a thing like this would go for? I mean, I frankly find it astonishing that when an American bought the company, that he got the charter, you would have thought. But anyway, how much would that charter go for?
It's, you know, it's funny. I get asked by my directors, well, what's our valuation process here? Well, the valuation process is you close your eyes and squeeze the trigger and see if you hit something. You know, we come up with a subjective bid. It's going to be in the millions, clearly. And somebody may top us, a museum may top us. I'm not a great fan of government intervention. We have too much of that. But I really do think the government should say, this must remain in Canada, period. You know, I think that's a given in this particular item, because it's not a business item. It's cultural.
You know, there's precedent for that in other countries with certain artifacts. And then, there are countries who are trying to get their stuff back, like
absolutely.
The Elgin Marbles.
The Mona Lisa to move it to Des Moines would not be seen as a good thing, you know, for the Louvre to be thinking about. So you're right. There is precedent.
There are other artifacts there. And, of course, Indigenous groups say they want their stuff back. So you'd have to be careful I don't know what besides the Royal Charter there is, but Presumably, there are artifacts which a lot of our indigenous communities say rightfully belong to them.
Well, I understand that, but you know, the time to be complaining about a lot of this stuff is when it left Canada in the first place, as part of a retail sales. I don't know whether the government at the time really thought about it or anybody thought about it, including the indigenous community. Nobody said anything then. And that was the time to do it when it left Canada. The point now is there's the possibility and the probability they are returning to Canada. So it's all well and good, but everybody has an opportunity to participate in this. And I imagine the artifacts, and that's the art. We're not interested in any of the art. We had only been in the charter to keep it in Canada. And if another Canadian organization bought it and donated it to a museum in Canada, that's great with us. I have no problem with that. We're doing it because I think it's that important.
Speaking of retail, though, you're also bidding on intellectual property, and that is those very iconic stripes. It's the right to make stuff using those stripes. There's word that Canadian Tire is interested. I mean, you're not in the retail business, Tom.
Well, not right now, no. but I am in the venture business of spotting value. I always felt that the Hudson's Bay Company never really capitalized on that brand that they had. They, in fact, I felt over the years may have debased it somewhat. And I think what I'm saying is, if you think of say clothing, just as one area, you know, Hudson's Bay brand on it, that implies harsh weather in northern Canada, Canadian quality. This is a name, a brand, you know, 1670 underneath it, that could really underpin very high quality outdoor clothing or whatever, everything from boots to gloves to hats to puffy coats. If you went really high end brand, and I think you can do that with the Hudson's Bay brand. I think it's of that caliber. Certainly, not only in Canada, but even more so internationally. So I think that's that has merit in it. So there's the intellectual property is pages and pages of different names that they have. Our interest is in sorting it. You can't sort it out, so we just bid for the intellectual property. And that's an aggressive process, I would imagine. And I've read in the public domain that Canadian Tire is bidding whatever. But I do think I see the brand as a very high-end possibility on whatever products.
So you're not interested in making mugs?
I'm interested in making mugs. That is the face of making faces. Not really. Nor are we interested in retail per se. I mean, the department stores, that's about three iterations ago in terms of retailing. I mean, the younger people, they went to department stores to big box, and now people just order stuff online, et cetera. And you might have a showpiece store with all of your brands in it. But I think it's a different type. So we're not interested in retailing. We're interested in the names and the intellectual property, which we believe have value. And it's very hard to, by the way, to come up with a value. It's quite subjective.
Oh, even for the intellectual property.
Absolutely. It's not what you're buying, as they say in business, not what you got. It's what are you going to do with what you got? And you know, we have a couple of ideas and thoughts, but it's in the theory level right now. First off, before we go far down the road in really building out how we're going to capitalize on this asset, we have to win it first. And that is a very challenging and ongoing process.
Do you know how many people you'll be bidding against?
No idea. Everybody's subject to a non-disclosure agreement. In fact, maybe even talking to you is breaching that, but I don't particularly care. We're not saying anything about the agreement itself, per se. But the only thing I was aware of indirectly was Canadian Tire, which was reported in the media as a potential buyer as well. And they would be a serious contender.
Well, right. And then there was a woman in BC who apparently has the means to do it, but we haven't heard much about that. And way back when, I had heard from somebody who is a former executive saying they were trying to get something together, but it looks like they did not.
I think they were trying to do that, and now it's been put out into the public domain. So I think that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything more really than you know about this thing. But I think that moment may have passed.
And what would the length of the process be? So the bids have to be in this week, I think Wednesday, right?
Wednesday of last week, actually.
Oh, okay. So what happens now?
Well, I think we all just kind of sit and wait. I'm giving you my guess here. I would say it'll be the better part of a month to sort through this. Because remember, you're talking about a company that's 355 years old as of Friday, I believe it was. And so you have lots of assets, cultural, you know, heritage, business, and it's sorting them out. So I think you're going to have the wisdom of Solomon to do it properly. So I think it's going to take a while.
And are assets like real estate leases in this same kind of auction process?
No, it's in an auction. I believe it is in an auction process, but it does not form part of what we are looking at. We're looking at the intellectual property, that is brand names, that type of thing. As you correctly say, the stripes, this sort of thing. And then there's the real estate assets, which are subject to totally different covenants. You know, they have mortgages on, they have leases, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a total. And then you have basically the artifacts, which is the third component. And there may be overlap. Somebody may want to buy the stores, but want to have the intellectual property too. So, you know, it's I don't know how they're going to sort it out. Mercifully, that's not my problem. My problem is to come up with a number and see if it works. And they make the decision. And if we win, then we got to get to work, which is, you know, it's hard for me because I'm essentially lazy. And if we don't get it, well, we go find something else to spend money on.
Is there any part of this process where, say, you're in some kind of real estate bidding war where someone comes back to you and says, okay, up this offer if you want to get it? Is there any opportunity for that, or is your bid the final offer?
Libby, you and I have bought and sold houses over the years. You know, it always works that way. If you just come up a little bit, I think you might get this kind of thing. So that I assume that option is open to folks handling that. So I can't really speak to it. I just don't know. You know, we've presented our bid, we'll see how it works out. And we considered it fulsome, but clearly there are people with possibly bigger, deeper pockets than we do, and maybe a more focused idea. We're investing it on a theory that we can convert this to a significant money-making asset. That's our thesis. And in terms of trying to flesh that out, we haven't spent a lot of time fleshing it out now because we don't have the asset yet. So until you really are in it, we have an idea. We know what we think we're doing and a ballpark idea of how we can make it work. But before you start spending a lot of time and effort on this thing, you got to make sure you got the asset to work with.
Okay. Well, Tom, please keep us posted on the progress and on whether you get all of part of what you're looking for. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. Nice chatting with you. Hope we get a chance to chat more often in the future.
Okay, that'd be great. Bye-bye.